All right, welcome back to week three of CS75. And so in this section, we'll start to talk about XML and how do you use XML to represent data and how do you parse it effectively with PHP. So XML stands for Extensible Markup Language. And what it really is it's, well, you can say that XHTML is a subset of XML. What it allows you to do is it allows you to create your own tags, if you want to think of them as like the type of tags that you'd have in XHTML, except you can create your own and you can give them any meaning that you want. And so what this is used for is this is used to represent data in a variety of forms. And you'll use this in the first problem set, PizzaML, which I hope some of you have read already and started to get an idea of what you want to do. So we'll talk about how you might approach that. What you would do with your XML, how you would parse your XML with PHP to get the data that you want on your web page. And so we'll do all of that. Before we do that, though, there's a couple of small things that I'd like to cover. So one of those is session. So last week, we talked about the variables get and post. Which allowed you to get the, which allowed you to get the, sorry, I'm just going to try and make my screen a little bit bigger here. So, can be easier seen, Vista. So anyway, so post and get allowed you to get information from forms and use that in your PHP, parse that data. So this should make it bigger. Yes. All right, that's a little bit bigger. Is that better? All right. So get and post allowed you to parse this data that you got from your forms. And get and post were associative arrays. So what we also have is session. And session looks the same as get and post, but what it is it's persistent across multiple accesses to your website. So session is, if you want to think of it, it's basically like a cookie, which you may have heard of. And session is just like this, just like get and post, the same format, and it's also an associative array. And so what it does is some user logs onto your website. If you start a session for this user, it will give this user a unique string identifier. And the browser will take this, and it's a very, very long string just of letters and numbers. The browser will take this string, and the browser will pass this string back and forth. Every time the user accesses your website, the user's browser is going to give you this unique identifier. And so then your PHP will be able to see that and know, okay, this user is the same guy who accessed my website 20 minutes ago. And maybe he did stuff, and so maybe we're going to change the website a little bit for him. So it allows you to recognize users. When you get to the next problem set after PizzaML, you'll implement something with a login. And so you'll use sessions for logins. Once a user enters his username and password, you know, that'll be validated against your database. And if it's okay, you'll start a session. And then everything that user does, that way the user won't have to log in every time he wants to get to a page. The login will be remembered. And so this is a pretty useful thing. So session is an associative array, just like get and post. And you can, the thing is, you have to manually add things to it and you have to manually delete things to it. And so some of the functions that you really want here are, there's two functions pretty much. There's start session and there's destroy session. So start session does what it says it does. It just starts a session. And then destroy session means it ends a session, which means it will delete all of the data that you stored with the user. So when we call start session, we're going to start storing all of the data that this user generates, whatever we want. And then maybe when the user clicks log out, or if they've, you know, not been to our web page in a while, the session might automatically expire. But if we want to manually end it, we can call destroy session. And so actually, I have an example here, which does a bunch of things, but it involves sessions. So this is here shopping, online shopping, or a very, very crude mock-up of online shopping. Localhost, XML, and then we are in shopping 2.0. Okay, so type the name of the item you want to buy. How much does it cost? How many do you want to buy? So it's a simple form, and we'll go over how this works. So let's say I want to buy, a DVD. And maybe it costs like $15, and I want to buy three of them. So I'll do that. I will add it to my cart. And you know, this went to add.php. Thank you for wanting a DVD. The item has been added to your cart. And if we go to my cart now, you'll see I've got this DVD right in here. So now, if I want to go buy something else, let's just say I want to buy a pen. So maybe a pen costs $1 and I want to buy only one. I'll add this to my cart. And so what's interesting now is if we go to my cart, you'll see that it also remembers that I still had the DVD from before in addition to the pen I had now. Because we could have just been passing the information, you know, the pen along, all along with the forms. But the DVD, it remembered that I had before. And so it did this through a session. And so if we look at the code for this, so this is index.php. It's just your standard form, which you've all seen many times by now. You've got, you know, your inputs, the price, the item, the quantity. And then when you submit, it goes to add.php. So add.php is where it gets interesting. Let's look at how add.php works. And so what we're doing here, let's look at the body first. So we've got some input validation. We're making sure that they actually typed everything, that this is not empty or the price is not empty, nor is the quantity. And as long as that's okay, then we start storing stuff, right? So we have here post, price, and item and quantity. We're just creating variables for them. And so what we've done here is we're creating a class, item. And we're creating, and we'll go over classes. There's actually a lot of new stuff to digest here. There's arrays, there's classes, and we'll go over this one by one. But what I want to show mainly is the session. So I'm going to kind of like breeze through this a little bit quickly. And so we're creating item. And so this is the interesting line here. Session cart. So we're creating some variable, if it doesn't already exist, called cart in the session associative array. And then we are storing in that item. And we'll go over the syntax for how that works. And so then every time now what we're doing, every time you have a new item, you're just adding to the cart. So what's important, what I didn't show you, is the first three lines of this PHP script right here. You've got session start, okay? Well, just the, I guess that's the third line. So session start starts a session. And if a session has already been started, then it just resumes that session. So basically, it will ask the browser, hey, is there already a session going on? If the browser says, yeah, there is a session going on, then we will open up the current session that's going on. If there's not a session going on, then we will create a new cookie for the user, and we will send that back to the user next time we communicate with them. And so session start does that. Okay, so now, as we've seen, I can just keep adding things to my cart, and it will go ahead and keep track of what I want in my cart. So how do you end a session? So, I created a quick little thing. If I go here to logout.php, I do that. It didn't really do much, and now I just go back. If I go to my cart now, you'll see that it's empty. So what we did in logout is we deleted the session. Okay, so now we deleted the session. All the data with the session is gone. And if I start buying stuff again, let's say I want to buy something else now. I want to buy, Dell Latitude XT, which is a very nice tablet that I got for free from teaching another course of Professor Malin's. And let's say that's, $2,000. I want to buy one. I add this to my cart. If I go to my cart, you'll see it has all this stuff. So it doesn't have the DVDs from before. It doesn't have the pen from before. It just has this right now. Okay, so let's look at the method by which I destroyed my session. So logout.php. It's really, really, really simple. This is just a link to go back to where I was before. And obviously, you can put as much HTML as you want in here. These are the two important things. So session destroy does what we think it does. It destroys the session. So why am I calling session start before I'm calling session destroy? Does anyone want to take a guess?
To load the correct cookie?
Yeah, exactly. So if I just call session destroy, what's going to happen is I'm going to get an error saying, and I'll show you what it says here. So I'm just going to comment this out. Let's say I go now to logout.php. It's going to say, session destroy. Try to destroy an uninitialized session. So what it's basically saying is, oh, we're trying to destroy a session, but there is no session. So the name session start is confusing in that it doesn't just start a new session. It looks to see if there's already a session open, and if there is one, it brings that one up. So you've got to bring up the current session before you can destroy it. And so basically through these functions, you will be able to maintain user data across multiple accesses to pages. And it's highly useful for a lot of reasons. Okay, so we will come back to this if there's time, and we'll go over some of the other stuff you started seeing there with the classes and all of that. But today, let's talk about XML. So I have here a little XML file that was put together for sushi. So let's say I have a sushi restaurant or a fish market, and I'm selling fish. So maybe I want to keep a representation of all the fish I'm selling. So I created this XML schema for it. And so if you think of XML, you can think of it as a tree. So basically, it's a series of nested elements that that have an ancestry. It's like a family tree. So in this case, and I'll just draw out this tree here on the board so you can see what I'm doing, and then you'll sort of see how it all fits together. So we've got sushi is sort of the top. Of course, this one is the one that doesn't work. Sushi is sort of the top element in our tree. And you can see that in the XML schema that we have here, sushi is, you know, the outermost set of tags, and there's only one of them. So your XML always has to have a root, like a root node. It's sort of the source from which the tree emanates. And so that's sushi in our case. In your web pages, what's the root node? HTML, exactly. Your HTML tag is the tag that encompasses everything in your web page. So sushi is our root node, and what do we have inside? Well, we've got different types of fish immediately inside. So here's tuna, here is squid, here is salmon. So we've got these three things coming out of our sushi root node. Right? Tuna, squid, salmon. Right? And so then the rest of the XML file proceeds like this way. And so inside here, we have multiple things, right? So we have, first of all, whether or not it's available. And each of these things, these are of type fish, right? So we can just write fish here to make note that they are of type fish. Because this name thing is what's called an attribute. So this fish and the sushi, these are called tags, and then name is called attribute. You may have heard these same terms come up when we were discussing XHTML. That's because XHTML is just a form of XML. And so then inside we have, you know, available. That's another XML tag, origin, and then variations, right? And so let's just for brevity's sake, we'll just do one thing here. So we've got, you know, available, and then we've got origin. And then here we have variations, right? And then variations has, you know, its things coming out of it, and so on and so forth. And so why is this nice? Well, it's nice because when your data is represented like this, you can start at the top of the tree, and you can get to any piece of data that you want just by going down the tree. And so this is a very popular structure. You know, it comes up all over the place in computer science. It's particularly easy for your browser to go through this tree and find certain things that you want it to find. And so what we'll do now is we'll look at how do you go through this tree. So first example here. So this is just my XML file. This is my data. So when you're doing a project one, you'll have your pizza menu. You'll want to create an XML file like this to represent your menu. And it'll be up to you to come up with, you know, however, like the tags that you want to represent the categories that you have. So let's look at what we have here. So this is very, very, very basic. So how do you deal with XML in PHP? So there's a class, and we'll go into classes later if there's time, called Simple XML Element. And what that does is it takes an XML file and it creates a computer representation of this tree. And then you can work with the simple XML element that you've created like a tree. And so basically what we're doing here, and if you just want to memorize this code, that's fine. It'll also, these things will be on the web so you can see it. Simple XML element, what are we creating it out of? We're creating it out of file get contents, which is just a function that reads in a file and takes all the text and plops it in, sushi.xml. So I'm creating an element, and then here I'm just doing var dump XML. So that dumps a variable, and I can see the representation of it on the page. So maybe this is interesting. Let's take a look. It's not going to be pretty, but it might be interesting. So sushi1.php. This is sort of how PHP represents XML. It's like a nested hierarchy of elements. Like, if you can kind of see, you see, like, here's one fish. And then it has, like, a name and it has, you know, availability and thing like that. And if we go down, we'll see more fish down here. Like, here's another fish, squid and such. Okay, so this is ugly, right? But that's just so you see internally how is XML represented. So what can we actually do with XML? So what does this do? We are doing this up here, which you've always got to do. You have to create this sort of machine representation of your XML tree from the file. And now we're going through all of the fish in the file. So if you imagine XML is like the root node of the tree, you can imagine being at a level of the tree. And so the arrow basically means go down the tree to the next level, in essence. And so we're saying, okay, so XML is the root node. Like right now we're at sushi. And then we're trying to go down to fish, to different fish, right? And so we're saying go down to the fish, and we're iterating over each type of fish. So this is a type of variation on a for loop. It's a for each loop for each XML fish as fish. And so basically all it's saying is, as long as there are fish to go through, call it fish, and then we're going to do stuff with that fish in the for loop. And so in this case, we're just printing out the names of each of the fish, right? So if you notice fish name is an attribute of fish. If we go to our XML file over here, you'll see, okay, name equals tuna, right? So if we had to guess, what is this script gonna do when it's run? Who wants to take a guess? And I will just put my XML file here for your reference.
This is a
You want to see the other one? Sure. So I can actually split view, clone to another view. Okay, so here's my XML file, and here is my code. And I'll give you a couple of seconds to think about that. I'm just going to write something up here for all of our online viewers. Questions, comments, email us. Here. Or IM us at that at aim. Okay, so does someone have an answer for what this code is going to do when it parses this sushi.xml file? So basically, it's going through each of the fish, and it's just going to print out the name because echo is your print function. So it's going to print tuna, squid, and then salmon. So let's make sure that it actually does that. So sushi2.php. There you go. Okay, so it just goes through each of the fish elements and it prints them out. And so you can imagine now that you can like continually recurse down the tree and print out whatever you want. You can go back up the tree. And so we will go into further examples of that. So, sushi3.php. I'm getting more complicated now. So I can again clone this to another view. Actually, let's keep our XML on the right. Here we go. So sushi3.php. Going along the same element, what do you think we're doing here? So we've got this outer for loop for each XML fish, right? So for each XML is the root node of the tree, right? Because when we get simple XML element, we're getting back the root node of the tree, essentially. And then we're going down to fish. We're going down one level of the tree. And so actually, when I'm saying tree, it's kind of like an inverted tree. Like the branches are upside down. That's just convention, I guess, in computer science. And so we're doing the same thing. We are printing out the fish name like we were doing before. And now we're doing something else in here. So we've got another for each loop. And now that we've got fish, we're going down a further level of the tree, and we're going to each of the variations of the fish. And we're printing those out too, right? So fish variations, variation. So why do we have these two levels here? Why not just fish arrow variation? Or fish arrow variations. Well, okay, so the answer is, if you look at how our schema is represented here, what do we have? We've got sushi is our root node, right? Inside that, there's fish. Inside that, and this is conveniently indented for you, so you can see the hierarchy very easily, but of course the indentation doesn't matter. Variations in here. So variations is an interior tag right inside fish. You can't jump directly from fish to variation with this syntax. There's another way to do it, but you can't do it this way. So we've got to go to variations and then from variations to each individual variation, in which case in tuna there's three of them, right? So that's why we've got fish, variations, variation. And then we are taking each variation that's hanging off of the variations tag, and we're treating it as a variable. We don't have to call this variation, by the way. I can call it whatever I want. You know, I'll just to prove it to you, I'll change this to variation one. And of course, I'll have to change this here and here. Okay. And hopefully I haven't messed something up in the script meanwhile. And so we are printing out some stuff now. And so this is, you know, we've got our nested loops here, and we're just using it to get down the tree further and further. So what happens here if I go to sushi3.php? We've got this nice thing, right? And we printed out those select boxes too. So we've got tuna has these variations. And then we went through each of the variations in tuna. We've got with wasabi, without wasabi, and fatty. Okay? And just to show you, let's say we wanted to add another variation to tuna in this XML file. How would I do it? So somebody tell me, what's the first thing I have to do if I want to add another variation to tuna?
Add a variation tag.
Exactly. Okay. And then I have to give it an attribute name, right? Because it's not required that it's not required that just because these guys have names, this guy has a name too. I wouldn't have to, but I have to in this case because I am trying to access the element name in my script, right? So if I'm going to name, if one of them doesn't have a name, I'm going to get a PHP error. So I've got to give them names in this case, but you can have multiple tags on one level with different attributes defined and set for them. Okay, so variation, and let's give this a name of, I don't know, another type of tuna is albacore, which is white tuna, if you are familiar with sushi restaurants. So this is albacore tuna. Okay, so what do I have to do next?
Price.
I've got to give it a price, right? Why do I have to give it a price? Because in sushi3.php, where I'm parsing, I'm accessing price, right? So I would get a parse error if I did not do that. So let's give it a price here. I've got albacore. We give it a price of, you know, like $6.33. And I close my tag. Of course, just like XHTML, all of your tags have to be properly closed and properly nested. And I close my variation. And that's it. I've just added something to my file. So in your Pizza ML problem set, project one, the idea is the only thing that the people in the pizzeria are going to be touching when they want to change their website is this XML file, right? Because it's relatively simple to edit the XML file. To edit the website itself might be more difficult. It might break something. So if they change the XML file, the website is regenerated from the XML file each time it's accessed. So if they change the menu, all they have to do is update the XML file like we did right here. So we'll save this. I will go. Before, tuna had only three variations. If I refresh this page, did I do that? You'll see. Okay. So, and I spelled that wrong. Okay. Here's the fourth variation that we just added, appeared. That's what happens when you try and talk and write at the same time. Okay. So that's how we modified it. So far, does everybody understand how this is working, how we're sort of going down the tree and accessing elements and pulling them out? Okay. So, and if you think about what we're doing, so in general, the syntax is, if you want to go down a level of the tree, use the arrow, right? And the arrow has a special meaning, but you can just think of it as going down one level in the tree. So we use the arrow to go down a level in the tree. And if you want to access an attribute, treat it like an associative array, like we're doing here. So here we've got a variation, which means we are plucking out one of these elements of the tree, like we've got this or this, and we're at the level of a variation. So we want to access an attribute, we access, you know, name, because name is an attribute, and I can add more attributes if I wanted to. So these are the two general things. You want an attribute, treat it like an associative array. If you want to go down a level in the tree, use the arrow thing to get to the next level. And if you want the text inside, like, so for example, price has this text associated with it. It's inside these tags. Then you just access price and it will get you that, because that's like already at the bottommost level of the tree here. Okay, so does everybody understand how this works in general? All right, great. And as always, for people watching online, you can email us or email me. Okay, sushi4.php. So this gets a little bit more complicated. Let's just close this up here. Close me and close me. Okay, so sushi4.php, let's look at what it's doing. Actually, this just has a bunch of messy stuff that's going to be a showcase of syntax. So I will show you what it does here, and then we'll go through line by line and show you how everything is working. Okay. And actually, let's comment out this because that was another demonstration. Okay. So the first thing that I'm doing here is I'm creating my XML element. Okay. And this is just going to show you how do you move around in a tree more flexibly. Okay, so here I'm just creating two strings that are helping me. And so now, this is how I search for an element in the tree. So what this is saying here is I'm starting at my root node of the tree, and then I'm using a function called XPath. And XPath basically says it allows you to treat the tree like a Unix directory structure. So if people have used Linux or used the command line and familiar with Linux directory structure, and the format that you use there, it's the same thing. Windows command line, Mac command line is very similar, but not exact. Well, Mac command line might be exact. So what it's saying here is slash is the root node of the tree. So I'm starting at the root node of the tree, which is slash sushi. And then I'm going into fish. And it's saying, give me back all of the fish that have the attribute name that is equal to fish name, which in this case is squid. So in this case, it's just getting me back one element of the tree, right? It's getting me back the fish that is named squid, okay? And so in that case now, fish is going to be its own XML node in a way that's going to be starting from here. So you can imagine now that fish is this thing is like recursive. It's like it's nested. So in a way, before when I had, simple XML element, that was sushi over here. Well, each of the things that sushi has as children is also an XML element in and of itself, right? So we've got fish, squid here, that's its own XML element. And now we're storing that in fish, we can treat that like its own subtree, okay? And so now all I'm saying is, and actually it returns an array of elements, because if you can imagine here, in this case, XPath only found one because we only have one fish defined named squid, but it's possible that we could have multiple. So XPath always returns an array of things. And so in this case, I'm just setting fish to the first element in the array, indexed at 0, because arrays are indexed. Are we familiar with arrays, by the way? Roughly familiar with arrays? Yeah? Not familiar with arrays, anybody? Okay. We'll go through a little bit of arrays in a while. So I'm setting fish 2 to just the 0th element of the array. So fish 2 is literally now this red arrow here. And from there, I can iterate down the tree. And so now I'm going down fish 2. And I'm saying, OK, variation is, well, I'm looking from fish 2. So what am I looking at here? I have an XPath, variations, and then a specific variation that has the name with wasabi. So I'm pulling out that variation now. In and of itself, specifically. And the syntax is a little bit complicated, and there's a lot of stuff to do. So don't worry if you don't get it at first. There's web pages that explain all of this, and I'll point you to those at the end of section. And so this also, XPath returns an array, so I just have to get the 0th element of the array. And now I'm printing out the price of that variation. So that's why if you saw at the top of the page, like the only thing that the user sees here is 850, right? And if we recall, if we just look in our XML tree just to verify, so we've got, what was it? We had squid with wasabi, and the price is 850. So it is iterating through the tree correctly and doing what we're expecting it to do here. So do people want me to go through that one more time? So here's a question. Why do I have a starting slash here, but not a starting slash here? There is a difference between the two. So slash is the root node. It's the root directory. Okay, if you don't start with a slash, it's going to assume that you want to start from the level you're currently at in the tree. Okay? So basically what it's saying here is Okay, we're going to go through, XPath is just like a path, like a file path. We're going to start where we currently are, and we're going to look for something hanging directly off of where we are called variations. So we're saying, okay, well, where we currently are is at fish squid. And we're going to look for variations directly off of it. If we did slash variations, it's going to say, okay, you want to start at the root node of the tree, not at the current point in the tree. And the root node of the tree is here. So it's going to start looking for something called variations hanging directly off of our root node, of which there is none. Yes?
Is sushi our root node?
Sushi is our root node, yes.
So when you do slash sushi, why isn't that telling you that there's no sushi is under the root node sushi?
Ah, that's a good question. I guess it's just a syntactical thing. What it's essentially, in this case, I think it wouldn't make a difference if you did slash sushi or just sushi, because you are at the top of the tree, and so at the top of the tree, the only thing there for you is sushi, right? But if you're at your point in the tree, and you want to go back to the top of the tree or to the root node, then you've got to use the slash to like start from the top. Does that kind of make sense?
But like, when you use the slash, you then have to define the root node again?
No, it's not like that. It's like this tree exists in place. And right now we haven't changed it. You can change it. We haven't changed anything. We're just reading from it. So it always exists. It's just saying, you know, it's just getting us to a specific location in the tree.
Like, so in that one you said slash sushi. Mm-hmm. But in when you access it from where you are, you don't say, squid slash variations. You start straight from variations.
Yes, because we already are at squid. I guess, okay, if I see what you're saying. Interpret slash sushi as the root node. I don't have an exact answer for you, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, so we're at squid. We get the whole thing with variations, which gets us like the three variations for squid. And we're picking out the specific one that has a name equal to with wasabi. And we're getting that and we're printing it out, okay? So, alternately, if we had done this here, and I'm just like showcasing a couple of things of XML syntax, what this is saying is give me all of the variations for which a name is defined. Remember how I said you could have tags with on the same level of a tree with different attributes? So this would be a way to say, okay, so let's say I have, you know, some variations that have name, and some variations that don't have a name. This one gets me only the variations that have a name defined. And this follows the same syntax where you've got like your associative array structure for attributes on the same level, and you know the arrow, or in this case the slash, because you're treating it almost like a file directory for going down levels. Okay, so we've got that. Actually, let's just put this back so our script doesn't break. Equals bum 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 bum. Okay. So here we're going down, we're printing out some stuff. Okay. So now we're doing something else. So in this case, what we're doing is we're starting again from fish 2, which is squid. We're going into the variations tag. And then when we go, if we just did variation like this, we get all of the individual variation tags that are defined. It's confusing because we have variations and then variation, and when I speak quickly you can't hear the S or not. So we get all of them. And so now if we want only a specific one, we want the second one, which is actually not the second one, it's actually the third one. Because you have to remember that computers like to start from zero when they count. So it's 0, 1, 2, that's actually the third one if you want to think about it. So we're getting the third one, and we are printing out the name attribute for the third one. So we're storing that in test. If you remember, XPath always returns an array. it doesn't return a single element. That's why we have to do test zero. Even though there's only one thing in it, it's still an array. So we're getting the first element of it, and then we're pulling out name as an attribute, and we are printing that out. And if we look at our output here, it was whole. So if we look at our simple XML thing, and apparently, oh, I was wrong. Okay, XML apparently counts from 1, not 0. Yeah.
Both.
It's the implementation of the simple XML element class. There are multiple different parsers for XML. You could write your own parser if you wanted, and you could have it count from 0. It's how the people who wrote simple XML element chose to do it, apparently. Okay, so we're getting whole, and we are printing that out here, like this. So that's all, I think, that what we have in sushi4.php. And this was just a demonstration of arrays. If you want me to go through arrays, how much time do we have? We can go through arrays. I think we have enough time to go quickly through arrays and classes, but let's finish up a little bit with XML. So anyway, so this gives you an idea of how to go through XML trees. And I'll give you a little bit other syntax stuff now. So, okay. If you want to start looking from the root of a tree, you start with a slash, okay? So here's an answer to your question from before. Think of the slash as like a reference point, an anchor point. So slash means root, okay? And I guess you'd still have to, like, it's like you're anchored here, or almost you're like starting from up here and then you're going to sushi, okay? As opposed to starting from where you are in the tree. So slash gets you the root. Dot gets you your current location, okay? So alternately, when we did, you know, variations slash variation, you know, we could have also just done dot slash variations slash variation. It's like saying, okay, instead of starting from the root, let's start from our current location. And if you're familiar with the Unix command line, this looks exactly like the Unix command line. Okay, so you look like you're familiar with the Unix command line. How do I go back a level in a tree?
Dot dot.
Yeah. Exactly. So dot dot allows me to go back. So let's say I am at variations, and I want to go back up to the fish level. So I would do, I'm over here, I could just do dot dot slash fish, right? That's if I'm at variations. And then that would get me, sorry, dot dot slash, you know, fish here. And then that would get me that, right? Okay, so we've got current, back, root. There's also something interesting called slash slash. And slash slash, what it allows you to do is sort of omit a path. So what I could do actually is I could do something like this. I could do slash sushi slash slash variation. And that's going to give me everything in the tree, all of the individual variation elements in the tree. So it's essentially it's skipping over the directories in between. And so you can use this to abbreviate things, but it's going to get you everything. So sometimes this is useful, though. It's essentially, like, you can imagine, like, there's some directories in here that are, like, omitted that we're just not even writing. And, you know, PHP takes care of that for you. So we can call this skipping stuff. So if you don't remember all of this, where might you look? And there's actually a lot more. I just picked a couple that are particularly important. There are tons more. So we can go to XML XPath. And I believe this is the document that I saw before. So where was it? Location paths? Yes. So I Googled XML XPath, and this is actually a very good thing, location paths. And what it actually does is it gives you like all of the syntax. So for example, these are some of the ones. Selects the document root, okay, which is the parent of the document element. So I guess it's the parent of sushi. All right? And then we've got, let's look for like the dot dot or something here. Maybe this isn't the one I saw. There are tons of stuff. So, for example, if you wanted something like, bum, 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 abbreviated. Okay, here we go. Abbreviated syntax. This is where it gets useful. So, star selects all the children of the node that you're at. Okay? So, basically, if we're at a single level and we want all of the children of that level, we'd use star. So, if I wanted to give you context for this, let's say I am at the level of fish. All right, let's say I'm in tuna right here. If you notice, tuna has children. It has an available child, it has origin, it has variations, right? So if I wanted to select all three of these tags, I would just do, slash sushi, slash fish, tuna. Like I'd use tuna in the associative braces, and then slash star. And that gets me all of those children. And then I can iterate through them or I can do what I want with them. There's a lot of syntax. It is syntax heavy, and I'm trying to go through a lot of syntax here. So this is a great site. You will probably refer to it when you're doing your problem set. So dot gets you where you are. The context node means where we currently are in the tree. Selects the parent. If you think of the tree as having like children and parents, parents mean going up the tree, children mean going down the tree. And then the slash slash. Okay. So there's a lot of stuff here. What it's saying is, okay, so for example, slash slash olist slash item selects all of the item elements from the same document as the context node that have an olist parent. There's a lot of words here that you might not understand. So node is just a single element in the tree, right? And nodes have like children and they have parents. So what it's saying here is find some node in the tree that's called olist, right? And then select all of the children of it that are called item. Okay, there could be none, there could be one, there could be multiple. But the thing is, olist could be anywhere in the tree. It's basically going to search the tree for an olist tag, right? We're not specifying a direct path to it. That's in essence what the double slashes do. Okay, so do we have questions on that? Sorry, that's a lot of syntax to digest. And to tell you the truth, I don't remember the syntax. If I need something, I remember like the important one, slash, dot, 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 the double slashes. If you need something else, you can look here. Bum, 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 bum. So I showed you attributes. I showed you how to set attributes. So right now, this is basically just reading the tree. You can also change the tree. And in a later problem set three, Google Mashup, you might want to change the tree in certain cases or generate your own XML dynamically. And so we'll show you how to do that later on. Okay, so any questions about this? Right, in that case, we will, no email. Okay. We can do a little bit about arrays in PHP. So I have this little demo here, which I'll just uncomment now. I'm kind of using this page as like my page to shove all the stuff I can't fit anywhere else in. So you can think of an array as a collection of elements. Think of it as a basket. You can hold multiple variables in this basket. So you saw already associative arrays, the session get post, and you can create your own associative arrays. And so you get elements in associative arrays by. Okay, this has got to shut off. There we go. This won't bother us anymore. You get elements in associative arrays by using this bracket notation, right? So if there was an element in our form called post called like item, which we saw for, the little shopping cart example, we would pull that out here using item like that. And so basically you can think of this as a dictionary with a key and a value. So in this case, key is item and value is whatever the user typed in that form field. But there's also arrays that are just numerically indexed, right? And so you can think of them as just like something like this, right? We've got a bunch of boxes. So, and then we can put things in the boxes, whatever we want. So in this case, I'm defining a new array. All right, it's called my array. And the brackets here mean that it's an array. And the brackets just mean add this, this string here to the end of the array. So in this case, I'm creating a string test. I'm adding it to the end of the array. Then I'm having the number 44. I'm adding it to the end of the array. So if some of you who have worked with other programming languages, you might be surprised here. Maybe you are not surprised. You can have arrays that have mixed type in PHP, which means that you don't have to put variables all of a single type into the array. And so, like, for example, here I've got a string. I'm storing that in the first element of the array, so we've got test here. Then here I'm putting the number 44 into this element. Here I've got, you know, another string. I'll just write another string. Right? And then here I'm putting another array in there. So you can keep whatever you want in the elements of the array. Other programming languages, if you declare an array, you declare it to have a certain type of element, and you can only put that type of element in. So if you create an array of strings, you can't put like an integer in that array, or you can't put another array in that array. You can only put strings in there. But in PHP, you can have a mixed type array. So here we just have my array, and we're adding things to the back. We're, you know, pushing them onto the back of the array. And so here I'm just using var dump, which just prints out your variable in a very, very crude way to show you. So did I save? I did not save. I'll refresh. Okay. So if you notice here, we've got a whole array with four elements. And then the zeroth element has a string called test, right? The first element has the integer 44. And I'll try and highlight over here so you can see what I'm doing. The second element has, you know, that other string. And then the third element has, you know, this whole array, which, you know, we defined before. So arrays can have mixed types. And so if you want to access certain elements of the array, like, for example, now, let's say I want to do this. After I've created my array, let's say I don't want to dump it anymore. I just want to do echo or print. Print is the same thing as echo. My array. What element of this array do I want to print? Somebody give me an element of this array I want to print. What?
Second one.
The second one. What do you mean by the second one?
Index.
Second by index. Okay, so what is that going to get me if I do this?
Hopefully another string.
Yeah. Hopefully. Right? So that's what we've got there. Why do we have whole? Bum, 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 bum. Not sure why whole is printing there. Okay, so whole is coming out as an artifact of something else. I think it's coming out from here. Yeah, whole is coming out because we were printing out, we were printing out this, the name of the squid, which was, or the variation attribute. It was like whole squid or something like that. Anyway, so what we're actually getting is another string, which is correct. So the important thing to remember is arrays are indexed from 0. So this is our 0 element of the array. This is our 1. This is our 2. So when I use the brackets to get the second element of the array, I am getting another string. They are not indexed like this. Okay. So you know how to add elements to an array. You know how to access elements to an array. There are other array routines, like you can, you know, if you wanted to, you can also change arrays. So let's say now I want to do this, my change element. So my array 2 equals different string. If I do this now, and then I print out my stuff, now you see different strings. So you change elements like that, you assign them, you delete them the same way you would any other variable. So those are arrays. So in the last 5 minutes, we'll talk about classes. So classes are a way to sort of encapsulate a bunch of variables together. So arrays allow you to like group things together. You might think of them as a basket. Classes are a more organized basket. And so in our cart example, when we had our shopping cart and adding things, we created a class called item, which I can hopefully find here. If not, I will just open it up. So it's a classes.php, right. Yeah, I have that here, classes.php. Okay. So we're creating a class called item. And classes can have variables associated with them, and they can also have functions associated with them. And so class has methods. So what we're saying is we're creating this class called item. It's going to be a type of thing that exists in PHP. It's like object-oriented programming, for those of you familiar with the concept. And so this is going to have three variables called name, price, and quantity. And private in front of them means that somebody using this class cannot access these variables. These variables are sort of internal data that is only accessible by the functions that belong to the class. So if you notice, class has these functions here, public function get name. And a function is just a way of encapsulating code that does something. For example, print is a function that we use, okay, in PHP. When we print something, it's just a function. We give it something to print. It does something. It's calling some body of code that's defined somewhere. And so class has this function. And so all it's doing is get name. It's very simple. It's just returning us the name that belongs to this class. So this is a keyword. A keyword is something that's defined internal to PHP. It means the specific class that we're working in. So it's saying return the name variable that belongs to this class, if that kind of makes sense to you. And so if you imagine here, we're creating this item, and we're encapsulating all of the data that's relevant to this item and all of the functions that are relevant to this item. So we're saying, OK, we're going to have a function called getName. And so if we have here now, and then we have something called a constructor. And a constructor just creates a new instance of this class. So if you want to think of this as a prototype, it's saying that everybody who's a member of this class item is going to have the following things. But we actually have to like create items themselves, right? So in this case, like one of the items that we had was like our DVD that we added. Another one was, you know, the Dell Latitude XT that we added to our cart. These were all represented as items in PHP. And, you know, you see they corresponded. They all had a name, a price, and a quantity. And so construct just creates that item. So if we go back to add.php, we'll look here. We created a variable. And this is confusing because we have lots of names that are the same. But we have item is new item, right? So item is just the constructor. And we're constructing with an item name, a price, and a quantity. And that corresponds in classes.php with this function here. And I'll go into classes a little bit at the beginning of next week's section, too. We'll spend some more time on them since they are complicated. They do merit more time. And so it's just literally all this constructor function is doing is assigning values to the variables in my class. Right? Are people a little bit familiar with object-oriented programming here? You are? You? Not really? Is it sort of making sense? That you want to, it's like you want to encapsulate all of these things together. So like this function, getName, it doesn't really have any use if you are using it on some other type of variable, right? So you're saying you can only call it on something of type item. Or maybe you want to have like another type of class called student, right? And maybe student has like a name, a GPA, a home address, a home phone number. Then you would want to define this function getName differently for student. So you could do like, you know, let's say you had a class student. You could have, you know, an instance of that class, myStudent.getName, as one function. And you can also have, you know, myItem.getName. And even though these two functions are the same name, they're different because they're associated with different classes and they're doing different things. Anyway, so that's a preview a little bit for next week. And all of this code will be on the web. So if you want to take a look at it, you can. I'll stick around for questions after. And if you have questions, you can also email us at help@cs75.net. All right, thanks very much.